let's ascend the stage.
Set me up, man, brother. Amen. God is good. Wow, I'm sure after service, I've got to go for a massage. Because I've got quite a big head to lift up all the time. It's going to be a bit difficult, man. God is good. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, I don't like to use this term, going to church. I totally dislike and don't use it. I like to use this term, let's be the church today. Let's be the church. The church is the shell, that building. But you and I are the living church. Amen? Jesus said, I live in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I always teach young people, say this, let's be the church. Be the church wherever you are, whatever you are doing. Be the church. One day I was in the city. I work in the city with drug addicts, but I've toned down because I'm 73 now, not fast enough on the streets. Now Laulia are old already. But one day I was crossing the street at McDonald's, Victoria Market. I was crossing the road, and across the road I saw this guy is a big time druggie, big time, man. Big time. Everybody knows his name. And he also knows my name, but that's good, huh? And he walks across to the center of the road while the traffic is stopping, and he shouts, praise the Lord! Pastor Micho, last night I dreamt of you. I said, what would an addict dream of me, man? He said, Jesus came and told me, tomorrow I will meet you here. You will give me $30. Serious. And I walked to him. I said, after he left you, he told me, don't give you anything. And I said, you know, but he remembers me as a pastor because I helped him. And he talked on the road so loud. And I've always liked this. The addicts in the city, when they see me, they remember Pastor Miso. Because you know, I think as the church, we bring something powerful into their lives. They'll never forget. You will forget what I say, but you will never forget what I bring into your life and touch your life. And be the church. Amen. Click, be a church in this neighborhood. Be a church that is proud to be a Christian, proud to do the work of God, proud to be called the children of God. Amen? I'm not scolding you. That's my style of talking. I'm a very passionate. Sometimes my kids say, Daddy, you talk like a gangster. I said, Jesus also is a gangster. But this is not heresy. Jesus is a gangster. You know the law of gangster? He's one. He got three, remember? He got three right-hand men. Underneath, he got nine. He's a good gang. He don't go and fight. He going to deal, heal, and bring a lot of deliverance. Amen? But I don't know about you. I like to be known as the living church. I'm alive until I die. It's okay. But just now we sang, what a powerful name is Jesus' name. Amen? Hey, your name is powerful too. Mine is really powerful. You know what's my name? Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. For the Bible, tell Miso. My surname is Miso. Yes. No, my surname is Miso. M-I-S-S-O. So listen. Today I'm bringing a message that Jesus told Miso. Miso, tell you now. Amen. Jokes aside. But you know, that's my name. I tell you, each name carries power in it. It's how you carry your name. Amen. And the name of Jesus is a powerful name. And anyway, Jesus didn't give me the message. Pastor Kenny told me, Pastor Micho, preach this. We'll do Philippians on chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. It's a powerful, I can't do it in one sitting, I must tell you. There are 10 powerful ingredients in 1 to 13 that I do normally in 7 to 8 series I do it. It's to understand the mind of Christ. You know, when you are angry, you tell your kid, don't let me give you a piece of my mind. You give me a couple of pieces, you got another, no mine anymore. So when I looked at this and I studied, why did the Lord say the piece of or mine? Another, you know, one translation says that he says, let the same mind be in you as that of Christ. Let Christ's mind be the same as in you. Not that easy, eh? Some of you sitting here now, your mind is somewhere else. Well, afterwards going eat, man. Wow, order this food, order that. The Bible says, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is at the food court. Because the mind is so easily to stray. Our mind strays very fast. Amen? It's very fast, it strays. But he says the same. Another translation that I have says this, huh? Have the same mindset. Oh, that's a better one. Mindset. A manner of his mind, a mindset. And then the one I'm using today says, adopt the attitude that was in Christ. The mind is an attitude, a place of attitude. Amen? The Bible says, set your mind on heavenly things. Think about all those things. Set your mind. It's a place that we want to understand the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we seek the Holy Spirit, Lord. That, Lord, you would grant us, Lord, that in-depth understanding of your mind, Lord. We are just mere humans, Lord. We pray this morning, Lord, you capture and captivate our minds, Lord. That our minds may grasp the richness of your mind, Lord. That our lives may be transformed. Our mindsets change. Our manners will be altered in life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, this morning, help me, Lord, as I help my brothers and sisters to understand, Lord, the teaching of Paul, Lord. Bless us and be with us this morning. Amen. I always think, mind, you know, it's so hard to read people's minds. Some people try to read minds. I'm not a mind reader. I don't care about mind, but I'm concerned about my mind. Someone said this, your mind will display what is in it. If you're angry in your head, your posture, your gestures change. If you're happy, you just touch the lottery, you walk about, big smile, can't stop. Your mind controls. Though a lot of people tend to say the heart, but the mind is where it all starts and then it takes the lift down. And it goes into the heart. And for out of the abundance of that heart, the mouth declares now. I call this the war room. This is the war room. The wars begin here. Translates here. Here, execute, 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 execute. It's to know the mind. You know, I really feel that in this mind of God, I want to understand his attitude that gives him this mindset. Amen? Okay, let's read from verse 1. Sorry, I didn't know it was here. I didn't know that. It's on. Therefore, if you have any encouragement, listen to that word, circle it, from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, verse 2, it says, then, listen, make my joy. Whose joy? The Lord's joy. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Stop there. You know, our mindset brings joy to the Lord. Our mindset speaks about our attitude, our behavior, our character, our mannerism. You know, I was in a cafe not too long ago when my wife was going through cancer. No one to talk to. I go to the cafe and sit down. And I used the cafe for years as a counseling place. I drink coffee, free table, free chair, nobody chase you. And one day while I was counseling, I saw a lady peeping. And I thought, maybe today my hairstyle good, huh? The lady was peeping at me, and I can see from a distance, why is this lady peeping at me? Very hard to do conversation. I'm talking, but I'm looking, huh? Why is somebody looking at me? After a few minutes, she walked to me. And then she walked like a Korean or Japanese. You know? They don't walk straight, huh? Walk like a Japanese. Hey, hey, hey. And then she came to me, are you a priest? I said, maybe my head is bald, but I'm not a priest. I said, I'm a pastor. Okay, can also. How are you? She said, every time I see you, every day you're sitting. You sit same table and you every time talking. I thought, hey, why you say like that? Not good, huh? And then she said, you talk to so many different people. I said, I'm doing counseling. Good. Then she talked to me for a while and she said, can you help me? Well, that one already, huh? Now I'm thinking, what help? She said, don't say anything, but look behind of me on the counter. I said, yeah. She said, you see that big boy? I said, yes. He's been threatening me, threatening my staff. I think he's been stealing our money. I don't know what to do. So now I'm thinking, you think I'm a bouncer? Drink coffee can become bouncer. She said, can you please help me? Then I look at her. I said, okay, you go. Don't let him know anything. You go. I talked to my youth leader, counseled him. I told him, you go. Before I go, I walked to the counter and I said, excuse me, man. I said, can I talk to you? He looked at me and said, big boy, bigger than me. No? My heart going, dug, dug, my kneecap doing the rock and roll. And he said, yeah, what do you want to talk to me about? I said, just have a chat. I said, a friendly chat. He said, who are you? I said, when you sit and talk to me, you'll find out who I am. He said, give me a few minutes. He cleaned up his hand. He sat down. I don't know about you, but don't try that if God is not with you. I told him, listen, bro, listen to me and listen carefully. I said, what you are doing is not right. He said, what do you do? I said, you're stealing, you're threatening, and you're trying to harm people. Who are you? I said, you want to know who I am? You really want to know? I said, you go on the streets downstairs, ask the drug addicts, who am I? Then he kept quiet. I said, don't do this. Then he was angry, he took the cloth, he walked away. In my heart, I said, the moment he walked away, I know he frightened of me already. He did not stand up. And I said, I'll come back and see you in a couple of days. I hope you settle the matter. So a few days later, I prayed. I really prayed. I said, Lord, don't let him take my teeth. I don't have much teeth left. Huh? A lot falls already, Lord. Nothing left, no, Lord. After he takes away, when I came back that day, 3 days later, he walked to me. He said, Pastor. I said, how do you know I'm a pastor? He said, the lady told me. He said, I'm very sorry. How you for? I said, I can't forgive you. Did you go there? And then he cried. And he said, then the lady comes out. Now she's brave. No. She said, Pastor, he returned the money. He asked for sorry. I said, okay, good. Then I told him, I said, you leave this cafe and you go to another place. And if you do this, you end up in a box or you end up in prison. Then he talked to me and he said, then become good. Finish that part, not talk about Christian Bible. Hey, if not, I tell him, I'm a pastor, it is. He said, thank you very much. And he walked away. And then for a moment, I thought, then the lady became my disciple now, follow. Pastor, you want coffee? I give you free. I said, no, thanks. Anytime I go to the cafe, even if it's full, they find a table from the store. See, the lady, and then I learned something, you know, friend. I learned something. The lady saw something in me I didn't see. When you sit in the mall, what does someone see in you? The church? The Christian? The man of God? The someone that can save or do something? Just like that, she walked to me. I didn't roll up my sleeve and show my tattoo. No. I said, I'm humble. I'm a humble guy. She came, and then I thought for a moment, I was sitting down. Wherever I go and sit down, I want to be. Listen, I want to be noticed as a Christian. I pray loud. Good God, everybody will look. I want people to look. I like people looking at me. A bit of attention. My wife said, you're an attention seeker. But yeah, it's okay. Because you don't know, friend, in the crowd, there may be someone waiting. And then I thought, no, when I go out, that I want that spirit within me. And I always pray, church, let's be. I go out with groups, I sit down, I pray. I don't care, I pray. Even the waitresses, I will call. One day we were in a dinner, and you walk in the restaurant, and you hear this lady dropping the plate, pang, pong. I call her, come here, what's wrong today? Then I don't know, today I have a bad day. I said, you dropped so many plates. She must have thought I'm the owner. Then I asked her, what's your problem? She said, I don't know. Then my next question is, I asked her, are you a Christian? I used to be. Huh? Got such thing, used to be. Now, no use already. Then I told her, listen to me. My wife is the winner. I closed. I told her, you listen to me. Stand here and listen to me. I said, tonight, I'm here. The Lord has sent me to pick back the lost sheep. You are a lost sheep. She's a beautiful young girl. Her name is Elizabeth. And she said, Pastor, can you help me? Till today, it's about a few years. Her name, number, I sent her morning devotion. I found her a church. I'm not the best evangelist. But you know, I sit down there. I want my presence to permeate. Listen, I want my presence to know
There's something.
And that's why he says, make my joy good. Whatever I do, my mannerism is I want to make the joy of the Lord good. Amen? Amen? You know, coming here today, the Lord is rejoicing in heaven because you guys are here. Even though no power, I never do PowerPoints anymore. Somebody asked me why. I said, because when I come to church, I will point you to the power. Don't let the power point you. I point you to the power. He said, make my joy. You know, there are 10 things I can't do. But listen, take notes if you want. In this mindset of Christ, he said, how can we learn to empty ourselves of the power and privilege and let God fill us with his presence? Not power, but his presence is complete power. Amen? Sometimes our mind thinks we got power, education, friend. You know, this mind makes us feel so big. But see, how to empty this that God can put his presence into you. That you walk about with the presence of God. You know, I work on a dangerous field of ministry. I've really slowed down. I told my wife, I can't. I've got somebody bash my jaw in and my teeth. And, you know, just enough is enough. I want to look good when I go to heaven. Make sure you got proper teeth and all. But, you know, would you bring joy? You know, whatever God has called you to this ministry, would you do it with this heart? A heart to bring joy to the Lord? When you play music, play well. When you sing well. When you do your homework, do well. Because every little bit that you do is working towards the glory of God. Change your mindset. Those days you say, I do for the church. No, you don't do for the church. Colossians 3, 15, 16, 17 to 20 says, in all that you do, do it as if unto the... that's a very good mindset. I do it. I tithe because I want to give it to the Lord. I tithe because I love you, Lord. I come... You know, I'm an early bird to church, huh? I like to go to church early because I can catch the latecomers. But number one is, go back and in these 13 verses, you can find this. I'll only stick on 3 later, but I'll give you the 10 empty. Then the next one, he says, learn to be a person that learn to invite, draw people to you. Some of us got funny face. The face chase people away. Last time, he was talking to someone. And he asked me, "What, Pastor Mitchell, you look at my face." I said, you need a face uplift. Because he asked me a direct question, I gave him a direct answer. See that? My wife, I told him straight, get a face up, please. Your face look like that, who want to talk to you? You know why? Some of us have got a lot of baggages in our life. And the baggages are being seen in our face. And the baggages are pushing people away. The next one you can take back is, when you are there, he's saying, you know, the mindset of Christ, when Christ is around, Christ is a peaceful presence. You know, he's like peace. So nice to be in the presence of Christ. Amen? You like to be with me? I like to be in your presence. Bring a presence. In also learn, you know, the mindset of Christ is learn to pray in solitude. I always see people in prayer group, good, but I always watch them in food court. But the food company I watch, I forgot, Pastor Mitchell, good on you. You forgot God, you didn't forget your food, fantastic. Then give thanks. If you look through Philippians, Paul give thanks. This is a thankful epistle. Paul writes from a prison, thanking. How many of you been to prison? I used to go there every month twice. I'm not a prisoner, I'm a good guy. But I do prison ministry. I go inside. Prison ministry. Then you feel the restriction, the confinement, the harassment, the solitary feeling. It just kills your life. But when you go there and I go there, I will, you know, knowing me is I'm a joker. Sometimes the prisoners were walking out when they see me, he's coming. You know, it's okay to be humorous in church. Can I tell you that? It's okay. The Bible never said you cannot be humorous. All right? Then he said, how to, you know, as a Christian, you know why you got division in church? Because you don't understand one another. Even if we understand, but we want to impose our way of understanding. My way. Do it my way or take the highway. One day we were in a discussion where people were fighting my way, his way, their way. I said, listen, shut up, sit down. I tell you one way. Yahweh. Everybody kept quiet. Everybody wants a way. He's Yahweh, he's the way. Yahweh, my way, his way. You know, this little statement, my way, can divide a lot. Can divide a lot. It really divides people. Then there's things like share yourself, stand for justice. He tells you, but there are three things I want to stand for today. This morning, I want to share three things from this verse. Three things that mean so much to me. One, unity. Unity, not union. Unity. We talk unity, we sing unity, we write unity, we live divided. Our equal divide division. No, but unity. Someone said this, unity. Listen, unity is a posture. It's a learn, you know, something you learn. High school don't teach, uni don't teach. Unity is learned from the Word of God. This Bible, this small Bible. Unity is learned. And unity has to be your choice of yours. We can talk about unity, but if you don't want to be, because to order to understand unity, the second point I want to bring in is in order to be unified, you need to have humility. Brother and sister together, unity must have humility. No humility, no unity. Isn't that true? If you're not humble, how can you be united? Yesterday, I had a whole session, 2.5 hours, with a church group of young leaders who are launching out. You know, my heart is I walk with them in Chinatown. They're doing it in the heart of Chinatown. And I talked to them about this. You cannot make the first step if there's no unity. And you cannot prolong the step if there's no humility. Unity starts, humility prolongs. Unity. What does the Bible say about Christian unity? Look at Jesus. He came to unite, not to divide. Amen? Unite. You know, I went to a church to preach. I got tattooed. You know, I was a good boy when I was young. I don't know why they put a tattoo on me, but I don't know. And one day I entered the church door. The pastor told me, Pastor, you got a tattoo. Can you please leave the church? I said, why? I'm the speaker. Hey, bro, I'm the speaker, man. I'm the boss speaker, B-O-S-C, boss speaker. He said, no, our church don't tolerate tattoos. Ayo, cham lah, what to do? Sermon prepared already? Love offering didn't collect yet? Tell, go home. So, and I brought with me a few drug addicts. Their whole body got tattooed. Seriously, you know, and I felt so hurt because all my life of Christian faith, I never knew tattoo became such a big issue. And then I started telling the pastor, this pastor got tattoo. He said, Pastor Minso, listen, I don't care, but you don't come in this church. Fantastic unity, eh? Fantastic unity. I went out, never mind. I was very sad, you know, because I was so happy to go there and preach. I got a Sunday sermon. Now no Sunday lunch hall, man. And I thought, I waited till the set, because I was so hot, I can fight with him, you know. Eh? I waited a few days, I went to his office and I talked to him. And I said, what's your problem? He said, the Bible in the Old Testament says this. I said, you follow Old Testament? Do you follow New Testament? New Testament is the new covenant of love and grace. He said, but I can't accept. I said, you can't accept. What about God? God, can God accept me? I said, God accepted me. I'm a pastor. Many years I've been. He said, pray for me to get over this. I said, I won't pray. You make a choice to get over it. Tattoo. Just, I never show you. I only show you one small tattoo. You chase me out. I should put a bandage. And I said, I got arm. I went to fight last night. Then I thought, no wonder petty things cause great divisions. The pettiness creates the greatest division in our life.
It's the pettiness that destroys unity. And Paul is warning the church in Philippi, don't let this, don't let the minors come and destroy the unity that God is building in the church. Petty things. You want that too. You know, I felt so sad. I felt never felt broken in my life. Because I always thought people accept, but then unity is fragile. Can I say that? Unity is fragile. Handle with care. Handle with care. If you love, you will tend to step over that division and work towards unity. Love allows us to bridge over. I love. I love to do work. And I reach out to any drug addict, irregardless of your background. I do drug, I do alcohol, I do teenage gang. I do anyone. I go to different denominations. People say, don't go. My idea is the gospel needs to go into all those areas. Amen? Don't let. Even choice of music can cause division. One day I went to a church. Oh no, my wife is a qualified chaplain now. Eh? And we do chaplaincy now. Oh, the name's steady, chaplaincy. Then we had a young worship leader. The people are all 80, 90, close to 100. Eh? And then this worship leader, let's stand. Let's sing. Let's stand. I told her, hey, hello, listen. Eh? You said, let's stand. That person hasn't stand. You said, let's sit now. I said, because they're all old. You asked her, I said, stand. The person just got up. You said, let's sit now. Another 25 minutes to go down. Hydraulic, he has to go down. And then they got up. She goes, I said, don't get upset. I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you, be cautious. Be understanding. If it's teenagers, you say stand, they jump through the roof. But the guy took his gear going, he's changing this gear, changing that gear. Put. Just as he got up, let's sit. And then I said, no, sometimes petty things you want to, no, it's about being understanding. You know, let me tell you, one of the biggest divisions in churches, we don't like to take instruction from our pastor or leader. Today, we have a generation that think they are very smart. They're all AIs, artificial only. I grew up in a generation, AI, actual ones. Mine is actual. Hey, my intelligence is actual. Yours is artificial. One day, somebody told me, Pastor Mitchell, I think your generation is, what do you call it? Used by already. I said, well, used by, but still got vintage. And what they call the wines, huh? Vintage wines. And antiques, Cosmo, what, eh? But you know, then I thought, division in church. That person got upset because I told that. But then I didn't scold you. I just said, be understanding, please. And the old person, really, you know how frustrating, you put this gear, change that gear, put the hydraulic to go up. And then I say, sit down. And then when you sit down, stand up again. So from now on, we go chaplaincy, no more standing, sitting. Let them stand, let them sit, it's okay. Because you know why? Sometimes we have got this notion, worship means must stand. Close your eye. Where are you going? Don't need close the eye. Sleeping, then fall down. You know, all these are good, but these are not actuals we do. Let people pray. You know, unity is to accept people the way they are. And if you want to help change, do it in a slow and graceful manner. Unity. Humility is something Jesus won't put in your heart. Don't pray, God, make me humble. No. Lord, teach me to be humble. Teach me, Lord. Rebuke me, correct me. Teach me, Lord, that I may be your humblest of humbles, Lord. God, don't do magic. Hallelujah. Hey, humble, humble. No, no. You become a bumblebee, you're not humble, huh? But you, humble, you know, a lot of things we handball to God, we want to blame. But humble I can be, friend. I can be. I want to be. I want to reach out. When I want to reach out to somebody, I will go to the lowest, you know why? Because I want to target him. I want to target him. I have a drug addict who it took me years, 15 years. I took him off the street, brought him to my house. I have a granny flat downstairs. I put him there and cooked for him. He never known to sit with the family. I took him. I fight with him. I scold him. Sometimes he'll tell me, hey, pastor, you be careful. I'll bang you. No, I said, you bang me? I'll bang you also. Then he said, pastor can talk like that. No? I said, you talk to me, I talk to you. But we became good buddies. But you know, I went down to so low. I normally don't put drug addicts in my home because I got 3 kids. Because when we first came to Australia, we live in a drug center. 3 young kids living in a drug center of hardcore. We don't deal with junior. We deal with people 5 to 10 years and above of addiction. Hardcore. But I took this one, I broke down, I went and asked Anne. I said, I looked after him, brought him through. You know, I tell you, humility doesn't live with you permanent. Every day you face obstacles, and how you exercise that humility is a grace from God. Paul writes to this church. You know why Paul saw that the church was getting divided? People were getting, you know, when you become a Christian, after a while you become arrogant. You know the Bible, but you don't know, you only know the Bible. For me, my name, God knows me. He sent me the message every day. But humility. Humility is the willingness to bow. Willingness to give up for somebody else. Willingness to sacrifice. Willingness to share. I know, I just saw when Daniel was praying, and we were praying, I said, Lord, just make this church. Listen, this is my prayer. No judgment. I love you guys. I love Daniel very much. He cost me a cup of coffee just now. I'm trying to make a cup of coffee and he come and tap me. I put the coffee on the table. I put the paper in the cup. And I said, Daniel, what do you? I said, no, I can't drink the coffee, man. But you know, I tell you one thing. I was praying this. I said, God, looking at this church, young and potential, I pray, God, that you make this church united in unity. Listen, unity is one thing, but united in that unity that you bring into a unison there, Lord. United in unity. We may differ with culture, Asian background, whatever. I don't care. Looks and all that. But let's be united. The moment you walk in this church, put on the cap, put on the garments of unity. You know, one day, I like to provoke church people. One day, I came to my church and I walked along the way and I threw paper on the floor. And then somebody said, Pastor, why are you throwing paper? I said, sit down. Then I watched people come in the church. Nobody would pick up that paper. Until one of my leaders came and I saw him, he go, pick. Then I said, why are you doing it? He said, Pastor, the church is so dirty. This is the house of the Lord. And I knew this leader is a good one. He didn't care who threw. He cared who takes. Unity and humility. Let me tell you, unity and humility come out of obedience to God. Because you have a heart of obedience, you do it. You sacrifice because you have a heart of submissiveness. You know, nowadays, I've been handling a few cases. I do counseling with family. A lot of issues of abuse. Home abuse. Family abuse. Violence in the home. And all because the pressure. A lot of people blame the pressure. You ever heard people say, oh, the pressures of life. The pressures of life is about 1% only. The pressures inside of you is a big matter. What is inside of you? I had a girl who I worked with counseling. And I told her, listen, I don't know if any of you dare do it, but at the marriage counseling, I told her, this guy is a fraud. Don't marry him. And then the girl got angry. Who are you? You know, I love him. I said, of course, I never said that you don't love him. I said, but don't marry this guy. And the guy, Asian, they said, well, he wants to show off. He's tougher than me. I said, you are in my house. The door is locked. How tough can you be? Anyway, I let them go. They went and they got married. 7 years later, she walks to my house. Her face looked like a cockroach enlarged. She got whacked up by this man. He swindled her money upon money and life. And I told her, where's the love? You know why I said? You were disobedient. You know, I told you, I didn't say don't marry. I just said be careful. This guy hasn't got a right heart yet. And now you call me, can you go and hunt him down? Hey, I say, hey, hello. Listen, I'm not a policeman anymore. Get the Holy Spirit to hunt. Because you know why? So sometimes your leaders have rights to tell you, if you don't agree, sit down and talk to the Lord. Could that be a value that I have got received, Lord? Is there something truthful? I won't marry you. She's a young girl. I got no personal agenda, no interest. I'm helping you. And my wife is a witness there. But you don't want. So sometimes I feel, if you're willing to be submissive and obedient, you know, this church will grow beautifully. Submit. The Bible says, submit to one another in love. Just as Christ submitted to the Father, that He came down and loved us, man, brothers and sisters. Submission. Obedience and submission are pillars that hold up unity and humility. And as you go down Philippians, you see a lot. You see a lot more as Paul writes out, being submissive, doing good works, caring for one another, sharing. We need, I think Philippians is a beautiful book, but I did it for 7 series with my church. Just taking one characteristic of it and exploring, expounding, and then applying. After that, we try to apply. How can I apply in my life, in my ministry, in my church? Because if you don't learn the application, then learning in itself is of no value. Can I tell you that? If you study medicine, you graduate, but you don't practice, and you think you're a doctor, only your head tells you you're a doctor. But you're nothing, not a doctor. The application brings out the truth, lessons you learn. And that application will refine and define your life, your career. Humility and... You still love me. I'm not scolding you. I'm scolding myself. You know, I'm preaching this and I'm also... I come from a rough background, brother. My dad is German, 6'7", 265 pounds, one hunk of a German. My father is a hardcore guy. My father developed... If you live in Singapore, Frankel Estate, Holland Village, and Angsali, Serangoon Garden, my father was part of the British company that developed it. I grew up and I was born in Frankel Avenue at home. My mother got no time to go to hospital. I had to come out so fast. My mission was to come out. Sooner the better, but... And I grew up in Katong. I'm an ex-cop, I'm a detective in Juchat. I went to academy to do an instructor. I teach law in the academy for police officers. I'm a hardcore guy, friend. I never knew Jesus. I hated Jesus, I tell you honestly. Until one day, I went to drugs. You know, I'm still a drug addict. Can I make an honest declaration? I'm still a drug addict. This morning, I took my drugs before I came out. I'm a Jesus addict now. Are you a Jesus addict? Did you remember to take your medication of Jesus? Every morning, I said, and I sent to people who are, I said, and you know, I went through a hard life. And the Lord touched my life. I got saved in Bethesda Frankel Estate. A brethren. Then my wife snatched me and brought me to Pentecostal. Then I could get married. Brethren won't marry because she's Pentecostal. Speaking in tongues, what tongues? But you know, I went through tough. And you know, I tell you, from the day I got saved, listen, my testimony still says, I used to smoke 100 to 110 sticks of cigarette a day. I'm an investigating officer with the CCID. I smoked till my teeth yellow, my finger yellow. And I don't know whether cigarette is burning, but I just, because I'm pressured. The day I got saved, listen, I was in the altar. I woke up and I went up till today. I never touched one cigarette. I've never been to any rehab center for drugs. Nothing. I asked the Lord, change my heart, please, Lord. And because of that, my mother disowned me. My mother didn't want me to be a Christian to go and help drugs. She disowned. I hate you. And I'm my mother's pet. Of 10 kids, I was the pet because I'm chubby and good-looking. My mother disowned me. My aunt is a witness. And I was broken. And I asked the Lord, you said you would save me and my family. You divided my family. I've been through tough life, but in all the toughness of life, I experienced the genuine grace of God. That's why I can do ministry. Nothing can hurt. Sticks and stones don't hurt my bones. I've been through. And I love the Lord. And I've seen the Lord bring addicts. We work with addicts out of drug. Because you know why? I've learned one thing. I've learned the humbleness of heart. I learned the humbleness of heart, friend. And I want you to know, whatever toughness you're going is incomparable to the joy that God has for you. Nothing. Be tough. Be tough. We need tough people in the church. Amen? Don't fight with one another. Fight against the enemy. But you know what I want to aim this morning is this. Is your heart obedient? Because the Bible says, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you. You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do. So there's no sense of obedience. If your kid tells you, yes, daddy, and you don't do, he's making a fool of you, he's mocking you, or he got no fear for you. It's obedience. As you go through Philippians, you see all that Paul stresses on this, the joy of the Lord. Joy. But joy can only come when your mind and heart is at peace. Right? If you lose your job today, your mind is affected. If you lose your loved one, you know, I come from a very strong personality rating for being extra, what do you call that? Extrovert. But the day my wife had cancer, listen, friend, in all my thing, I went right down the dip. I've gone into depression. I went to hospital. I couldn't cope anymore because I was afraid of losing my wife. And I tell you the testimony of God. And I go to a clinic, and you know who is the doctor? A Muslim. And what, you know what he tells me? Hey, pastor, I think God talking to you. What? Pastor, Muslim can tell me. Serious? And I went home. I took that word. And I went home and I read my Bible. And true enough, the Lord sparked into me something that really gave me a boost. Just being humble. I could have told him, hey, bro, shut up, man. I'm Christian, you know. But no, I took what he said. I went home. Yes, man. And I looked to the Lord and I said, Lord, truly, is there something that you're saying to me? I couldn't cope. I went down also. I refused to preach. I didn't go anywhere. I just curled myself like a ball in a corner and wished the world would have crushed me and just take me away and everything. But because of that obedient heart to listen, I'm back here. I'm with you guys. I want to stress with this church, anything you do in church, make sure obedience is the drive. Obedience is the purpose you do it. Amen? That God, you bring glory to God. Amen? You know, like family, when you see your kids all together on a reunion dinner, how beautiful, eh? You celebrate. But when you go for reunion dinner, one don't talk to the other, one wife don't. You say, what for the dinner? What for? Why do you come there? Is it that God sees us in church, but we are all divided? We don't talk. We don't. How would the heart of the master be broken? I loved you equally. I died for you. Would you love one another as I have loved you? That you bring joy. As you love, you bring joy to my heart. Amen? Kids, your duty as you live is to bring joy to your parents who brought you up. You know, one day my kid told me, you know, my kid, he said, Daddy, why? How did you go to school? Why are you stupid? I said, why are you so stupid? Why you call me stupid? You don't know how to repair computer. I said, bro, listen. When I went to school, computer not born. Don't talk to me about computer. I don't know. Now your generation is computer. Mine is. Right. You got mobile phone. Last time we don't have. So it's not a matter of stupid or smart. If you're more blessed, you're living in a more blessed time. But your duty as kids is to bring joy to your parents. And parents, your duty is not to provoke your kids. You know, so harmony and joy and peace is a two-way traffic. Not always one, two ways. Let's come to that. Let's come to that compromise and establish the purpose of the compromise is to bring unity to God and glory to God. Amen? You love me? I still love you guys. I can't remember your face, but if you see my face, remember my name, Miso. Just give me a shout. And God will be a blessing to your life, friend. Continue your journey in Philippians. I tell you, you go back and do your own reading. As Pastor Candy spoke, you do your reading. You pick up nuggets of joy, nuggets of truth, nuggets that will bless your life. Amen? Is it okay? Can we pray? Would you please stand with me? I won't ask you to sit, just stand. Why not close your eyes? Close your eye. And if in your heart, let me say this straight to you, if it in your heart right now that you are struggling because of something that is causing a lot of pain in the area of unity in your heart, with your parents, with your leaders, with your church, with your uni, somewhere in this life journey of yours, you're struggling in the area of unity. And because of this, your Christian faith is stagnant. You know, someone said, stagnant water becomes contaminated. Flowing water refreshes. And I pray this morning, the Holy Ghost will flush your heart.